Today's message is called A City on the Hill. You know, can we have the first verse, please? Which is Matthew 28, verse 19. It's not actually on my slides there, but it's the Great Commission. Go and teach the nations is basically what this passage says, this verse says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Great Commission, go. And then we went to this men's conference a couple of weeks ago, and one of the speakers there was talking about the Great Commission very briefly within the rest of his message. And he was saying, in fact, this is only half of the commission. And I thought to myself, well, I don't understand. He immediately said, yes, the next bit is in Matthew 5, verse 13, which says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot? You are the salt of the earth. That is the second bit. You are the salt of the earth. And I said, but I want to show you something. You know, sometimes you prepare something and then the Holy Spirit shows you something different, right? Can you actually see those two? Can you see those two items there? They look like ordinary salt pots, but in reality, these are two people. Two people living on the earth. Originally two identical people. This is a non-believer. And this is a believer. Now, why this difference? Well, it's very simple. The believer is filled with the Holy Ghost. He is filled with Jesus. He is the salt of the earth. And he goes to the council. He goes to the shop. He goes to his neighbors. And he just pours out the salt wherever he goes. And then he fills it up with the Holy Spirit again. We are the salt of the earth. And now this part here becomes salty. It gets its flavor. Now, where did he get it from? It didn't get it from the man. It got it from the contents of that person. It got it from Jesus. It got it from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, when the Holy Spirit showed me this about an hour ago, you know, I thought, how do you explain the salt of the earth, who we are? Two salt pots, one empty, one full. You go there, you shake it out. You shake Jesus all about you. You shake it wherever you go. You shake the salt, you shake Jesus, you shake the Holy Spirit, and you become the salt of the earth. You are the ones who are going to give flavor to the earth and to the world. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for this image, because it is something I hope which is going to mark everybody.
Amen.
Now, the same thing, which of course I can't actually show you right now, but can we have the lights out, please? Or at least one set of lights. Just one set of lights we're going to do. Just imagine a light bulb. Whatever light bulb, yes, thank you. Whatever light bulbs are in there, right? There is a filament, but there's nothing in there. There is absolutely nothing. It is a vacuum inside a light bulb. But then Jesus comes along, the Holy Spirit comes along, and he switches on the light, and we become the light of the world.
Yes.
We shine. We go there, and we are going to shine to all people. And because of us, because of that light that is shining within us, that comes from Jesus, that comes from the Holy Spirit, the whole world is lit up. Wherever we go, it is lit up.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Now, once again, you prepare things. The Holy Spirit changes things. And I praise his glorious name. And it comes through what other people say. And I've been writing notes, and the pastor has probably seen that. During the worship, I was writing down things. And I thought, boy, I must talk about this, because it's absolutely fantastic. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. We were singing about that. But that is exactly what it is. This salt that is in here must flavor Hemel Hempstead.
Yes.
Now, how do we do this? It is us, each individual, that is going to do our little bit of pouring out the salt to our neighbors. And when our neighbors receive this salt, they're going to say, what is wrong with that man? What is he different? Why is he different? Or with this woman? Why is she different to what I am? I want part of that. I want part of Jesus. I want part of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to start shining. And the light is going to go on. And we are going to be the city on the hill. Right here in the church. Not only in the church, but in our community. Where we work. In our school. We are going to be the city on the hill. In the hospital where we are. We are going to be the city on the hill in the garage where we work. We are going to be the city on the hill in the supermarket where we do our shopping. Everywhere we go, we are going to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and the city on a hill. Because the gospel says very clearly, you can... Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. The Holy Spirit showed me right now during the worship, Hemel Hempstead is on a hill. It is not down in the valley. It is on a hill. The church, Sunrise Church, is on a hill. We are going to light up Hemel Hempstead. Every single one of us is going to go out and do their job. Do their job for God. And there's going to be a big explosion. Pastor Eddie was talking about a big explosion when he was praying. And then immediately this picture came of a firework. A firework is a big explosion. But what is it made of? Let's just have a look at that. Another image that the Holy Spirit just showed me. It's all little explosions, separate little explosions. If you go, you take that tube that is shot up in the air and then it explodes. It's all different little ones. But what a beautiful light it makes. Every one of us is a small explosion. But together we make a big explosion. Amen. So what is going to happen is that Sunrise Church is going to explode onto Hemel Hempstead. Hemel Hempstead is going to be the light of the borough, of the county. And then this city is going to become the city on the hill of the United Kingdom.
Yes.
That's the way I see things happening. There's going to be explosions. Things are going to go forward. You cannot put a light under a basket. If we shine, people are going to see it. There is no way out. You cannot miss it. These lights are on. You can't miss them. Switch them out. You can't see anything anymore. Switch them on. You cannot miss them. Oh, Holy Spirit. Wow. Of course, today it has become more and more difficult to witness. The days are past when a preacher would go standing on a corner and just preach the gospel, and people would just either listen or not, or just stand there and take in what he was saying, or they would just walk by, but he would be standing there on the corner, like in Hyde Park Corner, and preach the gospel. Others went into the woods and gathered the villagers around them, and they would preach. And even then, in those days, the police of those days, the constabulary would come along, take him and put him in prison. That's happened many times. But today it has become more and more difficult. So how do we witness? Today the world is in darkness. That is why this light is so important. The world is in darkness. The world is in darkness. The morals, God's morals, the rules of morality have been abolished, have been destroyed, have been trampled underfoot. We're not allowed to pray anymore in the schools. We're not allowed to talk about God anywhere. That is what the law says in this country at the moment. They forbid us to do that. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. There is rebellion everywhere. Let it be youngsters, let it be adults in their job rebel against their leaders, against their bosses. They disagree, they don't agree with what has to be done. They just say, I do what I want. I'm just here to collect my check at the end of the month. I don't want to know about anything else. I come here in the morning at 8 o'clock. I leave at 5 o'clock and I want my check at the end of the end of the month. That's not what it's all about. We go to work, we go there at 8 o'clock, we finish at 5, but in the meantime we must put in a good day's work. Because that is what God wants us to do. And that is how we can shine, because by doing that work where other people are not doing their work, the bosses can say, what on earth have you, what's so special about you? Why are you working? Well, boss, I am not working necessarily for you. I am working for God,
Amen.
Who has ordained you as my boss.
Amen.
And I'm doing the best I can because that is what God wants me to do. He wants me to do the best I possibly can.
Amen.
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 Rebellion. The Bible says that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft.
Amen.
Let's eradicate rebellion. And I thank you, Clement, for praying like that for the children, because it is through them that the next generation will see God.
Amen.
Because this, I mean, this is not the first time. Even God said, I was reading Ezekiel during the week, and God said, this is a rebellious people.
Mm.
Israel is a rebellious people.
Mm.
So it's not the first time it's happening. But the fact is that it's more and more difficult to talk about the gospel. Now, the gospel, I'm not afraid of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, says the song today. But what is the gospel? You can't just walk up to somebody and say, hey, do you know the gospel of Jesus? They're going to think, you know. But the gospel actually means the good news.
Amen.
Gospel means the good news.
Amen.
So you could walk up to somebody and say, hey, have you heard the good news?
Amen.
And they say, oh, what, Manchester's won? No, you're on a trip, my friend. What do you mean I'm on a trip? Yes, you're on a journey to eternity, right? And you can start, but even so, that is even now extremely difficult to do, because they're trying to silence us. As I say, gently does it. Take it easy. Shine! Show the world what you are and who you are. Just shine through the example of your lives. Make your lives be that lamp. Not just yourself, but the whole of your life must be different. Must be something separate. Must be special. Must be shining out. And standing out from the others. I showed yesterday a couple of images to Pastor Eddie because we were working on the internet there, and there was a series of bowls, all identical, silver, shiny. And then there was one that was shiny red. It was standing out. And that's what we need to be.
Amen.
We need to be that shining bowl. We need to be the one that people see amongst all the others.
Amen.
Why? Because, hey, I was looking in my garden a couple of weeks ago in the dark, and I could see fireflies. Fireflies. Okay? Fireflies. They shine in the dark. Right? And I was thinking, boy, that's supposed to be us. In the darkness of this world, because it was night and evening, I could see the fireflies. And that is exactly what we must do. Our lives must be such that when we walk somewhere, people see us different than anybody else. That is what it's all about. Now, you can do this two ways. You can be rebellious, like some people do, and they taunt their neighbors, and they put fire into letterboxes and all that sort of stuff, and they shine in the wrong way. They go to court, people talk about them, and say they have had their hour of glory. A very bad way. Or you can have your life, which is showing love to your neighbor.
Amen.
Which is showing love to your parents.
Amen.
To your children.
Amen.
To your fellow workers. And do something that they need without even having to be asked. And just do that extra mile. Do that extra thing that is necessary. And you're going to start shining.
Amen.
You're going to start shining. And you will be the salt of the earth.
Amen.
Okay? Do it gently. Do it gently. We can't fight this head on. If you, like they say here in England, go in there like a bull in a china shop, there's not going to be very much left over. So let's be wise. Let's be wise. Let's ask God for wisdom. How to testify to people.
Yes.
We need to ask him guidance in these times, because it is extremely difficult. There are certain rules, however, that we need to look at and see if it is our case to practice or not. But ask God for wisdom.
Amen.
Let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It is not for you that you need to shine. You need to shine for our Father in heaven. Because it is for him that you're testifying. You are testifying saying, we have a Father in heaven. You do not need to go where you're going. You can change your route. You're on your way to eternity. Have a good eternity. And be blessed. Bow our Father who is in heaven. We are being told to keep quiet. They are trying to silence us. We must speak up. We may no longer keep silent. Time has come for us to take a stand. Time has come for us to stand up out of the crowd and say, this is wrong. I know a lot of people are going to disagree. The majority of people are going to disagree. But there we are. So many people have disagreed with Paul. Apostle Paul. But he still carried on. A lot of people disagreed with Peter. Practically everybody. But he still carried on. And he went to the end. He was crucified head down. But he didn't. He ran the race until the end. And he conquered his crown of glory. Now what do we want? Do we just want to sit there and do nothing just because we're not allowed to? In Revelation, it says that God spews people who are lukewarm.
That's right.
It says this very clearly. People who are lukewarm, God doesn't want to hear about them. He's going to reject them. We need to be on his side.
Amen.
End of story. So let's take that stand. Let's take that stand. As I said, the government is trying to silence us. But how can, we must, it's all about proclaiming Jesus, isn't it? It's not about religion. It's not about, I'm going to church on Sunday so I've got a good life. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with the lordship of Jesus. It's got to do with him who opened the way for us to be saved. That's what it's all about. And it's all about the fact that everybody else can be saved. If we do our bit, we must witness. We must be the salt of the earth. We must be the light that shines in the darkness. For who? For Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. It's about nothing else. Catholics, Anglicans, Protestants believe in Jesus. Not in a denomination. Not in a church. Believe in Jesus. He is the Lord of my life.
Amen.
Nobody else. Of course, there's somebody who's always trying to take over the kingdom in my life. Sometimes he wins a battle. Most of the time, I hope God wins the battle. Because I'm just in the middle. I'm just an object that is used from left, right, and center. I'm just tossed in the waves. But I stand firm, and because I'm leaning on the rock. And I hope my foundation is strong enough to withhold the storms when they come. You know, I was going to go into this, but just please skip this slide, which is Romans 1:25-27, which talks about immorality and homosexuals and so forth. Just skip the slide. I'm just mentioning it. We're not going to go into there today. We all know that it's wrong. The thing is that we know that it's wrong, but we have to stand up and say it's wrong.
Amen.
It says it in the Bible. Romans 1:25-27 says it is wrong. If nobody believes you, go there into the Bible and show it. End of story. However, we must take a stand. I'll probably get into an enormous amount of trouble saying this, and I'm saying it in public, and I'm going to maintain what I'm saying. Gay marriages are wrong. Amen. End of story. Yes. End of story. It is against nature. God does not want it. God did not ordain it, and it is wrong. And we have to battle against it.
Amen.
There is no other option.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
It's election time. It's election time. You know, I normally don't vote because there's nobody to vote for. There's nobody to vote for. Show me the Christian MP or the Christian party and I'll look at their policies. Now, which one of those three dominating parties at the moment is the closest to God's will? I haven't seen one who stands up and says that is wrong. I haven't seen one. I'm asking God for guidance. I want to vote. I want to vote. But I want to know who to vote for.
Yes.
And I want God to tell me. I don't want these people standing in front in a debate to tell me who to vote for.
That's right.
I want the Lord to guide me.
Yes.
Because it is our duty to change the government of this country.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm not political normally, and Tina knows that, I hate it. But now is the time to stand up, and we need somebody up there who is going to change and who is going to bring back the morals into this country. Because the morals were ordained by God. It is His laws that are there, and He sets down the rules. And this country has gone completely down for the simple reason that we have just thrown all the morals out. That is why this country has gone down.
That's right. Yes.
So we need to bring them back.
Yes.
Now, who am I to do that? But at least we can try and choose the right one.
Yes.
Yellow, blue, red, orange, green, it all doesn't matter. As long as they've got that particular moral line.
Yes.
Now, when they stand up there in debate and say, oh, faith groups need to be doing more because they are doing good stuff.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. Faith groups? Who are faith groups? They haven't got the courage to say Christians or even Muslims. They haven't got the courage to say that. They just say faith groups. They don't even know what faith means. So let us show them. Let us be the salt of the earth and show them what faith is.
Come on.
Yes. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same.
Amen.
Those are the words of God. Submit to authority. I've been thinking a lot about this. Submit to authority. When you go back into history, there's good kings and there's bad kings. And there's kings that have done extremely well for the country and who had an appalling immoral life. But that part of their life is between them and God. It is not for us to judge. It is God who is going to judge them when time comes. When they do good for the country, we need to obey. Because the authority has been ordained by God. Even if that man is immoral in his private life. But when he puts on his authority clothes, he becomes a ruler.
That's right.
Even if he is immoral privately, if he's doing a good job for the country, we need to obey. And we need to submit to that authority. Sometimes God ordains leaders who are really bad. You got people like Hitler? Professor Dr. Herr Idi Amin Dada is another one, right? It's just examples. These people were evil. But they were still ordained by God. Because sometimes God appoints an evil ruler just to punish the people and to bring them back into the correct way. Examples in the Bible are, for instance, when Nebuchadnezzar was ordained king. He was an evil god at the beginning, an evil king at the beginning, because he took the whole of Israel captive and took them over to Babylon. Why? God ordained that so that he could correct his people. So let's not confuse the government that we have now is our own fault.
That's right.
Because we have allowed us, the people who elected them, to banish God from the society. We are paying the price. Perhaps not of our generation. Well, of mine, certainly. But some of you are young. It was the previous generation who did that. Now you have the power to change that. Bring God back into the society, and you will no longer have any inflation. You will no longer have a credit crunch, because God is going to bless the country. Because instead of doing evil in his eyes, we'll be doing good in his eyes. So we need to obey authority. I want that to be very clear. However, there are limits. There's also an example in the Bible where the apostles, Peter and John, they were, it says here in Acts 4:18, says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. This is what's happening now. Do we agree? Do we agree, church?
Yes.
And what is the next verse? But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. In other words, what you're commanding us, we are not going to do. You tell us to keep quiet against homosexuality. You tell us to keep quiet and to bless those marriages. No! I am not going to obey that law. Because that law is against the law of God.
Amen.
And in that case, you have the right. No, you have the duty to disobey.
Yes.
It is our duty as Christians to disobey those particular laws. Anything that comes against the law of God must be disobeyed.
Yes.
Because that is evil in the sight of the Lord.
Amen.
And not only must it be disobeyed, we must speak it.
Right.
Because if we don't speak it, people will never know that is wrong. Because it is gone, it has grown into a habit. It is shown on television. It is shown in the newspapers. It is shown in all the media, in cinemas, in songs. If we, as a Christian people, do not show them and tell them, they will think this is normal. And our children right now already think that that is normal. It is wrong. End of story. Afraid of the authorities. Why should you be? If God is with us, who can be against us? God is with us in these cases. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you, says the Bible. But I want to come back on an earthly level here. Because people are going to question you. And they are going to say, hey, I don't read the Bible. Then you can say, have you ever read the Carta Magna Carta, the Great Chart of England? Have you ever read it? Dated 1215? No? Read it. It was changed in 1225. And it actually says, clause number one, first, we have granted to God and by this court present charter have confirmed for us and for our heirs forever that the Church of England shall be free. And shall have all her whole rights and liberties inviolable. We have granted also and given to all the free men of our realm for us and our heirs forever these liberties underwritten to have and to hold to them and their heirs of us and our heirs forever. In other words, in the year 1225, they were declaring the freedom of the church. This is still valid today.
Yes.
This has not been abolished. It is part of the unwritten constitution of the United Kingdom.
Amen.
It has been recognized by the Bill of Rights in 1689. Remember all these things. I know it sounds, but people need to know this.
Yeah.
It's arguments that are not religious that are actually there.
Yeah.
Okay? In 1689, the Bill of Rights established the freedom of speech and debate. The freedom of speech and debate. And it is still in effect today. So who is the government to try and change the constitution of this country? We have the right to speak and to debate. That is the law of this country. So do not be afraid of the government who says to you, keep your mouth shut. No, I will not, because I have the right through the Bill of Rights to carry on talking and to debate any subject.
Yes. Come on.
December 10, 1948, Universal Declarations of Human Rights, adopted by the United Kingdom. Article 18 says, everyone has the right to freedom of thoughts, conscience, and religion. And right includes freedom to change his religion or belief and freedom either alone or in community with others and in public or private to manifest his religion or belief in teaching, practice, worship, and observance. That is the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And it has been accepted and signed by the United Kingdom. So who are they to tell us to keep quiet?
Come on.
Article 19. Everyone has the right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers.
Hallelujah.
We have the right given by God through this declaration to spread the gospel.
Yes. Come on.
Let's be the city on the hill.
Amen.
We have the right given by God in this declaration, because this is a universal declaration. It's not just one country, it's universal. And that has been ordained by God.
Amen.
So let us speak up.
Amen.
And let us counteract the evil that is being said today.
Yes.
Of course, as usual, the United Kingdom has changed a few things. In the Human Rights Act of 1998, they have put restrictions on these freedoms. But they are established in case of confidentiality and defamation or contempt of court. Those are the three points that you're not allowed to talk about. Items that are confidential, contempt of court, and defamation. Defamation is saying wrong things about people that are not true. Okay? So that is acceptable. Because that is against the will of God anyway. Now these elements, the Magna Carta, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Human Rights and the Human Rights Act are the foundation of the uncodified British Constitution. So let's apply those in our lives. Let's be wise. Right? Let's be wise. Have the scriptures in one hand. And have the Universal Declaration of Rights in the other one.
Amen.
People who don't want to hear the gospel, give them the Human Rights Declaration. We need to use the tools of this earth to be able to conquer in the spiritual world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We must speak the truth and declare what is wrong. With love,
amen.
Not with hatred.
Amen.
The idea here is not to banish homosexuals. The idea here is not to hate them. That is not our purpose.
Yes.
Our purpose is to love them.
Yes.
And to correct them.
Amen.
That they may come to Jesus.
Amen.
Because if they don't, they're going to eternal damnation.
Yes.
And it is our duty, because God is going to take us accountable for what we have said or done here. and if we encounter a homosexual, and if we don't love him, and if we don't tell him that he is wrong, then try to show him the ways of the Lord, God is going to reject us. Amen?
Amen.
And I would just like to finish by declaring, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, this is in Joshua 24:15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served and that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwelt. But as for me and my house, I will save the Lord. I will serve the Lord. Amen.